the last several weeks, like 6, 7, 8 weeks, we've been on the promises of God. And today is the last promise of God that we're going to be talking about. And I wanted to end it on Easter because I felt like, okay, this is what Easter is all about. This is what the resurrection is all about. This is everything that all the promises are encapsulated in, if you will. And today's promise is eternal life. God promises eternal life. And so if you will jump over to that real quick, there you go. God promises eternal life. And as we look at this, guys, hopefully you will see the significance in the resurrection. That is my goal today, is to bring understanding. Amen. And so God promises eternal life, but he doesn't promise eternal life to just anyone. And you go, what? Yeah, he promises eternal life to everyone, but there's some contingencies. And that's one of the things that we have seen throughout all of Scripture and all the promises, is that there are always contingencies on God's promises. And God says, listen, I promise you will have this, but this is what you're going to have to do. I promise you're going to get this, but this is where you have to be. I promise. There are over 800 promises in the Bible. There's a lot, because it's over 800. And I narrowed them down to kind of like a dozen that would fit all of them. Like, you know, sometimes I've been studying the promises now for weeks, and all of a sudden I realized, like, wow, there's a lot of promises. But I wanted to finish on eternal life. And so today we're going to talk about what is eternal life. And I couldn't think of a better passage to discuss than John chapter 17. And so if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 17, because I'm not putting all the scripture up there. Okay, I might. I can't remember if I put it in that or not. But I broke it down into sections, and you'll see here in just a second, right? So in John chapter 17 in verse 1, this is Jesus's prayer right before the crucifixion. He's getting ready, excuse me, he's getting ready to be handed over to be crucified, to be found guilty, even though he's innocent, and then to be crucified. And this is his prayer. And I thought, man, what an amazing prayer. I mean, a magnificent prayer that Jesus prays. And he prays, as he breaks it down, he really prays for things for our benefit, for God's benefit and our benefit. But it's going to cost him his life to do this. And the truth is, everyone's going to die. Amen. But only those that believe unto Jesus are going to resurrect when Jesus calls us home. And that's huge, because up until that point, Jesus is the only one that conquered the grave. There's no other person that people worship, no other little g god, fake god, that people celebrate, or false god, I should say, that people celebrate, that claims to have resurrected from the dead. It's Jesus, and only Jesus. That's so significant, guys. And so I want you to look at this prayer right before his death on the cross and the resurrection. So in his prayer in 17, I'll break it down here so that we're not so you get a clear understanding. So in John 17, 1-5, Jesus reveals things about himself and the Father. Let's look at this. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And so Jesus, his prayer is that we see the Father. That we see the Father and that we see Jesus. And Jesus is going to return back to his rightful place next to the Father in heaven. And so he's like, Lord, I want Father, I want them to see that it's through this and what's going to happen and through your choice in sending me and me dying on the cross that you get eternal life. You know, everyone's after seeking after living a long life. Amen. I mean, you got anti-aging products, which, by the way, don't work, just so you guys know. I'm here to save you a ton of money, right? So you know, men look in the mirror, and it doesn't matter what build we have. Listen, we could be like, or we could be like, but when we look in the mirror, we always see, right? We're always bigger than what we think we are. And then ladies, you look in the mirror and you put all this makeup on and you're like, yeah, I look 20. And you don't. And so I'm just like, and by the way, and we don't look all woof either, right? We're just like we have this sense of deceit in our brain when we look in a mirror and we go, oh yeah, I look good. So, you know, right? And then all of a sudden I had a pastor. He was like, hey, if you want to lose weight, let me tell you how to lose weight. Sit down in front of the mirror and eat naked. See, some of you already lost a pound just thinking about that, right? And so what happens is when we have this thing, because we want to live forever and nobody wants to die and go to hell, and we all want to live, and Jesus loves everyone, so we're all going to heaven and it's all grand and it's all good. And that's not true. The truth is that Jesus died for everyone. And the truth is, everyone has opportunity to go to heaven. But not everyone's going to believe unto Jesus. And some will get mad at me for saying you're not going to heaven because you don't believe unto Jesus. And some of you are going to get mad at me for saying Jesus is the only way. But I want you to see in Jesus' prayer, he makes it clear, Father, I'm dying so they can see you. I'm dying because if I don't die on this cross, If I don't sacrifice myself and resurrect from the dead and raise myself up from the dead, there is no hope for anyone. And so he establishes right in the beginning of 17, the things revealed about himself and about the Father. And then he revealed things about the 12 apostles. And I love this passage here. If you would go to John 17, 6 through 19. And as we look at this, he says this, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. He's talking about the apostles. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And so you see right here, Jesus, right from the gate, there's a separation. I'm not praying for the world. Not yet. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for my disciples, the ones that you have given me. They have kept the word, and they're going to go forth when after I'm dead and gone. Now, of course, we say dead and gone in the respects that he dies, goes in the grave, and then he's resurrected to life, and he goes and he's at the right hand of the Father, and that would be the gone part. He's not walking on earth with them anymore. He's not dead as we know dead. And so he's praying for the apostles. And in verse 10, he says, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And so again, you see there's a significance difference. If you are of Jesus, you're not of the world. You've been separated. You're set apart. And so those who are God's are God's, and those who are the world's are the devil's. And he's just making it clear that that's how it is. And so, guys, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me just tell you, you are of your father, the devil. And you're like, oh, I don't like that. How dare you tell me? Listen, just let me finish before you throw anything. The scriptures say that if you're of God's, if you believe in Jesus, that you are God's. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're automatically Satan's. And Jesus' death on the cross made a way for you to completely separate yourself from being Satan's. And the fact that he is praying for the 12 apostles to go forth and carry the gospel. And then later you're going to see he's going to pray for each and every one of us. Because see, people are like, okay, yeah, Easter. You know, some of you are like, oh, the big bunny. And then some of you are like, oh, Jesus. And I really appreciate that. But do you really understand Easter? So Friday, I had to go take care of some stuff, and I'm driving down the road, and I was paying attention to the clock all day. And I'm watching the clock, and I'm watching the clock, and I'm watching the clock, and it 3 o'clock hit. It had 3 o'clock. Jesus said, "It is finished." And he dies at 3 o'clock. And I thought to myself as I'm driving, Father, how much you love us who hate you or hated you, still hate you some. And you're like, through all their hate and all their sin, I'm still going to give them opportunity to come to my heaven. And it's only through Jesus. And I thought at 3 o'clock, opportunity started. This morning, opportunity was settled. He rose from the grave this morning. That's why we have church on Sunday mornings. This is celebratory of his resurrection. And even if you look and you go into Revelation, I think it's 2:10, I think is what it is, but don't quote me on that. It might be 10:2. I might have dyslexia. I don't know. But John says that John was praising the Lord on the Lord's day, which is Sunday. That's why we have church on Sunday. It's because of the resurrection. And so I'm watching the clock, and I couldn't help but to rejoice over the fact that my Savior died. I was sad, but I was rejoicing because that was the beginning. Because he said, if I don't go, I can't send the helper. If I don't go, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. If I don't go, you can't have power from me through the Holy Spirit that God's going to give to every human being that believes. If I don't go, this is not going to happen, and you have no hope. If I don't go. I remember when he told the apostles that he was going to die, and Peter's like, no, you're not. And Jesus is like, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're holding up what has to happen if you want to go to heaven. And so, guys, when we think about the resurrection, understand that the process started on Friday. And at 3 o'clock, it is finished. Everything required is done. And he took on the whole sin of the world, and the world got dark. And the veil tore in half. I mean, you got to understand this veil. This veil was like 20, 30 feet tall, and it was about 3 feet thick, and it was woven in like a yarn. And I don't know if you understand, but you have a 2-foot thick piece of yarn that's woven, it is next to it's next to impossible. Okay, with man, it is impossible to tear it. And that veil is what separated man from God, from the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn in half, which it signified that the tearing in half of this veil opened up heaven to everyone who would believe. There was no longer a separation. It's to anyone who would come to the cross. Guys, I'm telling you, the Easter is not just about candy and Easter bunny and eggs and all the stupid junk the brutish stuff that the world believes. It is about Jesus dying, finishing the course, and then God opening up the veil so that we could come to him through Jesus Christ, so that we could have eternal life. That's what this is all about, guys. If you're sitting here and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen, I don't mean to be, as Pastor Duke would say, a dookie downer. But I'm just going to tell you, you got no hope. Heaven is not your home just because you believe there's a God. Heaven is not your home just because you believe that Jesus came. Heaven is your God because you put all God. Heaven is your home because you put God first and foremost, and you put all your faith in Jesus Christ, realizing he is the only way. There is no other way to heaven except through him. And people are like, I'll do it my way. No, you won't. I have my own idea. That you might, but it's not going to get you to heaven. There's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, it brings forth death. It's only through Jesus Christ. It is only the way that the Father has set it up through his Son. And Jesus establishes that in verses 1-5 of chapter 17, the book of John. And then he says, look, and I'm praying for my disciples that you protect them, and I'm going to send them out because they're keeping my word. Oh my goodness, guys, churches today aren't keeping the word of God. They're coming in and they're doing all kinds of frilly. And I'm telling you what, I listened to that music this morning and I was back there. Man, I was just praising God through it. And the second to the last song, what's the name of that? Hallelujah. What is the name of that? Oh my. Through the storm, God's got us. Through everything, God's got us. Hallelujah. And I don't even know if those are the words, but I can tell you this, that was the idea. And I stood back there, man, I was just goosebumps. As a matter of fact, Jesse was back there, and I'm like, I grabbed Jesse and I'm like, oh dude, are you listening to this? Jesse's a little stout. Don't worry about him. He's okay. And I thought, all because Jesus was willing to die on the cross. And so he prays for them. In verse 15, he says, I do not pray. He's praying for the disciples still. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And then he prays for future believers. This is all right before he's going to the cross to die. He's got us on his mind and heart, because that was the sole purpose. And so look what he prays here in verse 16. I'm sorry, 20. My apologies. Now I got to go back to 16. I'm jumping too much. Just ride this train with me. Thank you. So they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Verse 17, your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And then verse 19, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. For their sakes, Jesus says. And then it's for our sakes as well. Look here in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus back here was praying for you and I today. Think about that just for a second. I'm not just praying for my 12, but I'm praying for those who will believe my 12. Jesus prayed for you and I here. And I thought, how unbelievable of a Savior we have, that He prays for us and puts it in Scripture, what He prays for us. Guys, look at this. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And so Jesus prays for you and I, but He prays for you and I, very specific, to live like the 12 apostles. To share the gospel. Easter is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is all about people being saved. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I'm just going to tell you that you can change that today. You do not have to leave here with no hope. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe what the Bible says about Jesus and believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to heaven except through Him, if you are not there, you are not going to heaven. You're not. And it's not because I said so. And it's not even because what I believe. It's what the Bible says. Is what Jesus specifically Himself says. You know, I thought about Easter. What am I going to preach on Easter? And I knew two months back what my sermon was going to be on today. I knew it. And I go through these struggles, guys, as a pastor and as a preacher and all this stuff that just goes on. I go through these phases sometimes. And I'm like, Lord, Easter's coming. Do I just preach that, oh, Jesus died and amen, and we're all, what, Lord, what do I preach on Easter? And it was a struggle for me, not because I have a hard time preaching truth, because I promise you I don't. And not because I'm like worried about your feelings, because I'm not. And not because I'm worried about the people getting mad and leaving, because I'm not. I've told people, and I tell people all the time, I'd rather you leave mad than God leave mad. And so my prayer is, God, what do you want me to preach? Because God, here's the thing. It doesn't matter if I hurt their feelings. It doesn't matter if I send them out crying, Father. It doesn't matter if I spank them, Father. None of that matters. Here's what matters, Lord. What matters is that people hear the message that they need to hear to believe unto Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, that's what I want to preach. I want to preach salvation. So they understand it. Father, I want to preach in such a way and share what needs to be shared so they walk out completely understanding, Father, who you are and why you sent Jesus and who Jesus is, and that without Jesus, they have no hope. Without Jesus, they're condemned to hell, and they can go on with their life, Father, and they can do whatever they want to do, but if Jesus isn't involved, they're not going to heaven. And I got people that claim to be Christian that sit in the seats every week. And so for those of you visiting, if you don't know, I promise you there are others who come here every week who are in the same boat that you're in. They don't know either. And I'm like, Lord, I just want to preach so they hear. They hear. That's all I care about. And Jesus here prayed for me. For today. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. See, guys, that's the whole idea here. That you believe the Father sent the Son. That you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Because if you don't grab that, you got nothing. You can be the wealthiest person on earth that has everything in the world and you still have nothing come the return of Christ. You have nothing when you die. Job said it best, naked I came from the womb, naked I came into the world, and naked I'm going to leave the world. And so you're in search of everything. Or how about this? You gain all this money and then you lose your health and you spend all that money to do what? To gain your health. And I'm just going to tell you, the answer is not in money and it's not in your health. It's not in what you have or it's not in what you don't have. It's in who has you. That's what matters, guys. That's what Easter's all about. And Jesus prays for us. But then he doesn't just stop there. After he prays, he tells us what eternal life is. Look here in verse 22. No. Yes. Don't mess with me today. In verse 22, it says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Do you realize that the Father loves you as he loved Jesus? Have you stopped to think about that just for a second? But that love will only be received if you receive Christ as your Savior. Without Jesus, we stand as an enemy before God. Unholy, full of sin, as ugly as we can possibly be. That's how we stand before God. And I know that, like, that doesn't make you feel good because some of you came in all dressed to the nines and you're like, what do you mean ugly? You get what I'm saying. We stand before the Father ugly. And he says here in 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. And so, guys, listen, look here in verse 24. Go back to 24, please. In verse 24, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. That's eternal life. That they may be with me. Where is Jesus? Jesus is in heaven. He's like, listen, my prayer is that they believe and that they're with me for eternity. Guys, don't sit here and deceive yourselves. And sure enough, don't think when you leave here that that you have the way if it's apart from Jesus. Because Jesus' prayer is that we come to him. We come to the Father through him. That's his prayer. And that we have eternal life with him. And I just want you to know that eternal life is knowing the only true God through Jesus. Look in John 17:3. In John 17:3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. It's all in the Father through the Son. It's not knowing about God. It's not knowing about Jesus. Eternal life is having that relationship. I tell people all the time, it's about the relationship. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not His. And that means that you don't visit Him once every 100 years. It's not that you like, oh yeah, I know Jesus. But you never picked up your Bible. You never go to church. You never seek His face. You don't pray. You don't do anything unless, now wait a minute, if there's struggle or troubles, we better pray. Because we understand God can save us. But other than that, we're not interested in God. That's where most people live. And I'm just telling you, that is not what He's talking about. Having a relationship means that we go to Him and we pray to Him and we thank Him and we praise Him and we bring Him glory and we meet with Him daily. That's having a relationship. Being married to my wife, I wonder what she would think about our relationship if I just showed up once every 6 months. And yet we think that that's okay with God. And God, Jesus is like, no, I desire. Look here in 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. See, when you behold Christ's glory, you will remain in awe because you have never seen anything like it. You will remain in awe of Jesus. Eternal life is having a relationship with God through Jesus. A relationship means that we talk with Him. It means that we know Him. It means that He loves us and we love Him. Listen, my wife would not believe in a moment that if I said, honey, I love you, but I only show up once every 6 months. And neither would you believe that I loved her. Because every one of you would go to her defense. Nah, honey, you need to get rid of him because he don't love you. If he loved you, he'd be there. If he loved, right? Come on, how many would agree with that? Yeah, and the rest of you are liars. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. Because a relationship begins with time. And a relationship is when we put trust in Jesus Christ. That's when it begins for our eternal walk. Jesus says in John 3:3, Jesus says this. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again. Now, for some, this is an offensive saying, which kind of boggles my mind. And Nicodemus was like ignorant about it. Nicodemus went, born again? What do you mean born again? Literally, Nicodemus says, what do I do? Crawl back up into my mother's womb and be born again? How can I do that? I'm old, meaning that he's bigger than her. He's not going to fit. And Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. How do we get born again? You guys have the best questions. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Listen, you don't go to heaven just because you go to the Catholic Church. You don't go to heaven just because you come to this church. You don't go to heaven just because you believe Jesus existed. You don't go to heaven because your mama's going there. You don't go to heaven because your daddy and mama prayed for you. You don't go to heaven because grandma wouldn't leave you alone. You don't go to heaven because they're Christians. You don't go to heaven because you live in America. You only go to heaven because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You die to yourself. You believe unto Him. You're born again. That's your only hope. Apart from that, you have no hope. Apart from that, you're condemned. And so Jesus makes it very clear in John 3:3, if you've not been born again, your reward is not eternal life in heaven. Your reward is eternal life in hell. I'm sorry, because it's not, you know, some people, and this generation is deceived. Today's generation is deceived because they believe in annihilation. Well, when you die, it just all goes away. Nothing ever. That's a lie. This generation believes more in evolution than any other generation because that's what they've been taught and been shoved down their educational minds. And And they're like, no, everything's evolved and we're still evolving. And when we die, we'll return as a butterfly so we can fly around and see what we did wrong and get it right the next time. That's a lie. That's a lie. And by the way, you didn't evolve from nothing. If I say, give me $10 and you say you're broke and I go, no, reach in your pocket. There's $10. Or you go, no, I'm broke. There's nothing in there. How are you going to give me $10 from nothing? You can't. Same way you can't create all of this from nothing. I find it interesting how you have everything, male and female, male and female, male, everything, male and female. And by the way, nothing creates, nothing can come except from its own kind. Interesting how Jesus says that and the Bible says that. And yet evolution is like, we started out as nothing. And then something happened. I know we got something from nothing, but just you know, believe that nothing comes, something comes from nothing because it's possible. Even in your own mind, if you stop and think about that statement, you know it's silly as it sounds. But yet, some people don't want to relinquish it because it's all they've ever known. It's what they've always been taught. And if they relinquish it, then be like, well, what do people think of me? They'll think you're actually intelligent now. That's what they'll think of you. Listen, you can't get something from nothing, let alone, listen to me, let alone a male and a female that can procreate after its own kind. Do you realize if you planted a pine tree seed and an oak tree seed, and you planted them side, tape them together, who cares? You're still only going to get an oak tree and a pine tree. Humans come from humans. Cats come from cats. Make perfect dinners. Dogs come from dogs. Every now and then there's a mistake called a poodle. And a chihuahua. But think about this just for a second. Something doesn't come from nothing. And when there's an explosion, there is never, never order that comes from an explosion. Never. How crazy is it that we have nothing? Lightning comes from nothing. Hits water that was from nothing. The water warms up from nothing. Creates this little amoeba from nothing. The amoeba walks out of the water, walks on land. Somehow it grew legs. Decides it doesn't need its legs anymore after it climbs a tree and hangs by a tail. The tail breaks off because we don't need the tail anymore. Hits the ground, walks a little bit further. And then before you know it, you got us. It's brutish. Jesus says, I created you. I gave you life. The Father says, I created you. I gave you life. The Holy Spirit says, I created you. I gave you life. Because if you read Genesis, the three of them come together and they say, hey, let's put this together. And everything is in order and everything depends on everything. And we see in the Bible, it says that the sun, the moon, the stars were put there so that we could have the calendar and we can have the days. And daggum if it doesn't work. Sailors can look up into the sky and be thousands of miles out in the sea, out in the middle of nowhere. They can look up in the sky and find their way home by looking at the sun, the moon, and the stars. We know the time of day by looking at the sun. And God says we will have all of that. And we don't have a problem believing that all of that does that function, but we got a problem that God created it for us. We can't explain much, but we'll give credit to nothing for us before we give God the credit for making us. Before we give God the credit for sending his only son, Jesus, to die for us so that we could be with him. And we don't even want to, we don't even want to surrender to that. We believe crazy stuff before we believe what absolutely makes sense. And so we need Jesus because he prays, Father, I desire that they would be with me. How do we get eternal life? John 3:16 says this. And I'm going to roll through a bunch of passages now. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son, Jesus, has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son, Jesus, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You want life, it's in Jesus. You don't want life, then don't accept Jesus. And by the way, you might think, hey, I'll take my chances. God bless you. The Bible says that we're not promised tomorrow, and I don't know if you noticed, but the death rate in America is up 46%. It's up 46%. You're not promised tomorrow. Nobody is. Look here in John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus gets real specific in John 5:24. Look here. Most assuredly, I say to you, in other words, verily, verily, truly, truly, whatever version you have, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him, Jesus, who sent me, or the Father who sent me, that's Jesus, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. See, it's all about Jesus and believing in Jesus that God the Father sent. We believe in God. People don't have a problem believing in God. But when we throw the name Jesus in there, we're like, whoa, hold on. But what if all of this is true, just like God says it true is true? Where are you? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven? Do you have eternal life? Most assuredly, I say to you, if you believe what the Word of God says, you have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, if you do not have eternal life. There is no other way. And what I really find interesting about all the verses that I said is there's whoever, 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 right? Has eternal life. Not will have. You realize that once you're born again on today, if you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, the day you do that, you have eternal life. The day. Not when you get to heaven does it begin. It begins the day you believe unto Jesus Christ. Man, I love what promises. Amen. Maybe it's just me. I don't know, but I'm just going to tell you, I get pretty excited that no matter what I've done, no matter how much guilt that I feel, eternal life is available to whoever believes and gives their life to Jesus Christ. Some of us were walking around like, you don't understand, Pastor. I've been such a bad person. Well, praise Jesus, you understand you're a sinner. Now understand who's the Savior. Amen? Listen, there was a time that I didn't know Jesus. And I was not a nice guy. At all. I didn't value my life, so I sure didn't value anybody else's life. And then one day someone tells me that Jesus died for me, that I could have eternal life if I just believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Believe that he died on the cross. Believe that he rose on the third day. Believe that he's in heaven at the right hand. Believe that he is the only way. October 2nd, 1994, 10:30 in the morning, man. Bam, I hit my knees just weeping. First time I had cried in years and years and years. Gave my life to Jesus Christ and nothing has been the same since. And I praise God for that. And you can have the same thing. Because see, it doesn't matter what we've done. What matters is what we do. Jesus says, I forgive you of all sin. I forgive your past, as ugly as it is, and all the wrong you've ever done. I forgive you of that. And we can sit back and say, but Jesus, you don't understand. And he's going, no, I do understand. I understand. That's why I died for you. I understand that you're a sinner. I understand that you do wrong. I understand you need a savior. I understand that if I didn't die on the cross and raise on the third day, you couldn't go to heaven. I understand all of that. That's why I died for you. But if you don't believe that, then you're going to die in your sin. And heaven will not be your home. You will spend eternity in hell forever being the worm writhing in pain. That's what the Bible says. But John 3:16 says, but whosoever believes. Whosoever, that's you, that's me, that's everyone. Why? Because God loves you enough to extend that courtesy to you. God loved you enough to extend that opportunity for us to go to heaven. And if you reject that, you have rejected God. And if you reject God, you reject his home. If you reject his home, you don't go there. You go where you accept, and that is your alternative. It's either heaven or hell. It's either Jesus or Satan. There is nothing else except for this time that we have to make a decision. Because the decision you make on earth is the decision when you take your last breath, that's the decision you will live out forever. There will be no changing. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory. You don't have soul sleep. That's a lie too. The Bible says to be absent from this body, you are present with the Lord. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, to be absent from this body, you are in the presence of your Lord that you made on earth, and that's Satan. And you're going to ride that ride of hell for eternity. Peter understood this in John 6:68. Jesus asked him, Peter, who do you say that I am? And says, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter understood. Peter was there. Peter walked with him. Peter understood that without Jesus, we have nothing. Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. And then in John 10:28, he says this, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Listen, once you are born again, you believe Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will never lose that. You'll have eternal life with Jesus Christ forever, and nobody can ever pull you out of Christ's hand, and you can't even remove yourself from Christ's hand because you did nothing to get saved, so you can't do anything to go back to being lost. It's eternal life. Man, what promises we have, amen? It can never be taken away. Look here in Romans 6:23, and I'm almost done, guys, in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is nothing else. There's no one else. This is it. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. Look here in 1 Timothy 1:16. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. It's all in Jesus. And Paul knew this. And so Paul writes this to Timothy. Look here in 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son, Jesus Christ. Like there's nothing else. Oh my goodness. If you, 1 John 5:13 says this, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. That would be Jesus, just for clarification, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. Remember, this is the promise of eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That would be Jesus. Man, how much does God love us? And so I want you to know Eternal life begins in Jesus the moment you believe. And then there's no separation because we have this promise of eternal life. And by the way, eternal life is what? Forever life. How does God stop the promise of eternal life? Once he gives you eternal life, it's eternal. There's no taking it back. Amen? All right, maybe it's just me, but I'm almost done. Look, but here's what we have to understand. Guys, you have to grab this. Sin has separated us from God. Look in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And I'm going to quickly, I only have three passages left here. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins until we believed unto Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then we became alive, spiritually speaking, to live in eternity forever with God up in heaven. Next verse, please. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Because see, those who believe, like even, listen, before I was saved, I was walking according to the world. I did the things of the world. I was a nasty, nasty guy. And then I get saved. And all of a sudden, all the junk that I was doing, I'm like, oh my goodness. And just like that, I saw things and I saw truth like I'd never seen it before. Which you once walked. I stopped walking that way. I stopped doing that stuff. Because you know why? When you believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all that crazy goes out. If you're done, you're a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things become new. The old passes away. Everything becomes new. You shouldn't be walking and doing and acting like you did when you were 16 or before you were saved. Because if you are, then you aren't. You're not saved. I'm just trying to help you understand if you're saved or not saved. Like if you're sitting in that seat going, am I really saved? If you're acting like you were before you got saved, you're not saved. You go, but I gave my life to Jesus. No, you gave lip service. You thought in your mind, but you never solidified it in your heart. And so therefore you're still going to go to hell because Jesus is not your Savior because nothing changed in your life. And if that's not true, then the gospel's a lie. See how easy this is? I know some of you are like, I don't appreciate it. You got about 3 minutes then and I'm done. And I just appreciate you hanging out with me. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's Satan, because people are still walking in the way of Satan and doing the things of Satan, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But man, when Jesus is real, all of that changes. And so if you know somebody that used to walk just as ugly as could be, and then all of a sudden their whole life is different and they claim Jesus, then you better believe that's probably real because they're not the same. They once walked, they once conducted themselves, and they don't anymore because they're no longer a child of wrath. Go to Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. See, guys, if you are living in sin, if you're walking contrary to God, if you're walking contrary to Jesus, if you're not born again and your lifestyle shows it and everything about it shows you, he does not hear you. He doesn't hear your sins. And so if you think, hey, I can sin and I can repent and everything's good again, I'm good to go for another round. No, you're foolish. You're lying to yourself. Look what he says. Your sin has separated you from God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. He will not be a part of sin. Guys, you got to grab this. You got to understand why Jesus died on the cross. Because then in verses, this is my last passage and I'm done, guys. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5, you'll put that up. But God, who is rich in mercy, that is our saving grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, even when we were just as nasty in sin as we could be, even then, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. Guys, I'm telling you, there's no other way except through Jesus. And so I just want to say, guys, Man, happy Easter. Just understand what that means. Like, really grasp. The truth is, it's Happy Resurrection Day. That's what it really is. The world tagged it as Easter to take your mind off of Christ. The world tagged it as Easter so you could think of bunnies and eggs and candy and baskets and nice yellow shirts and all that that comes with it. But I'm telling you, it's Happy Resurrection Day, where Jesus willingly went to the cross so that we wouldn't have to suffer the penalty of our sin. And through that, the Father gives us the promise of eternal life. That is what this is all about. That is the gospel in a nutshell. And the resurrection of Jesus and you putting your faith in Him is your only way. It's anybody's only way to heaven. Please do not deceive yourselves into thinking that you gave your life to Jesus when nothing about your life has changed. You might want to rethink that. If Friday afternoon doesn't faze you, you might want to rethink where you're at. If this morning didn't cause you to celebrate in your heart, you might want to think about what your relationship is with Jesus. Are you a child of the King? Or are you a child of the son of perdition, who is Satan? Real question on today. And I thought that was the most important message that I could preach, because that's the whole reason Jesus died. And for me to preach anything else to make you feel good or to make Pastor John, he was so wonderful, preached this really nice message, and you weren't offended by what I preached, I didn't preach the Word of God. We were back in the prayer room earlier. And my prayer that has been all week and was back there and is now, is that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that today it changes. That you really understood Easter is the resurrection day. And you understood the importance of that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want to give you that opportunity real fast. I'm not going to delay. But the Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is with the heart that you're going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It's with the heart you're going to surrender to that of which the Scripture says that without Jesus you can't get to heaven. With the heart, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you'll never be the same. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. If you're here today and you have believed unto righteousness, you believe the Scriptures that were preached today, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way to heaven, you believe in Him, you surrendered to Him, you understand that without Him, you cannot get to heaven. Without Him, you are not born again. Without Him, you have no hope. If you understand that, you believe that this morning, and you want to surrender your life, and you say, Jesus, today you are my Lord and Savior. Today I surrender all. Today I die to myself. Today, I believe that there is no other way to heaven. Today, I repent. I'm not going to keep walking the same walk that I've always walked, which is away from you, but I'm going to walk towards you. If that's your heart, and you believe it in your heart, not just your head, you believe that in your heart, then the Bible says you're saved. You're born again.